Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. And we also know that God has called us through His Son to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we are continuing on in our sermon series, and this sermon is entitled Transforming Lives to the Heart of Jesus Christ, Becoming Holy, Growing Unchangeable. If you remember last week, I told you that we are going to be looking at holiness, because if we're going to be transforming lives to the heart of Jesus Christ, the first thing we have to deal with is holiness. We need to realize that transforming lives means we need to become holy. It calls for holiness. And we learned last week that only God is holy and only God's Word. But we then, to be holy, must become obedient children. And we found that truth. It's throughout the Scriptures, but the Scripture I used was 1 Peter. Today, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 102. We're going to begin in verse 25 and through 27. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter again, because the teaching continues. But I want us to understand this second portion is the unchanging nature of God, and we need to become unchanging because God is holy and we need to be like Him. From Psalm 102, verse 25. Psalm 102, verse 25. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Of old, You founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of Your hands. Even they will perish, but You endure. All of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be changed. But You are the same, and Your years will not come to an end. Blessed be the word of our Lord, our God. This word speaks of that unchanging nature of our Father, of the Heavenly Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. He who existed before time began, immortal time, of which He has never changed, and to which into the future He shall never change. He is God, and He does not change. Now, I love it when people tell me, yeah, but when you read that Bible, there are so many conflicting stories in there that you can't tell me because over here it says this, then over here it says that. Well, that's because you're picking and choosing what you want to read rather than reading the context that is here. But there's one thing that is very clear in here, and that is where we're going to move next. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we're going to chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1. And we're going to continue on from where we left off last week. We're going to begin in verse 22. Because again, we have to read things in context. And the context of what we were learning here from 1 Peter was that we need to become holy people. And how do we become holy people? We become obedient children. That's the first step of walking in holiness. We become obedient to God, to His Word. And then we need to understand that we need to become unchanging. We need to become like God, unchanging. How many of you have changed from the time you became a Christian until now? Every hand should be going in the air. If it isn't, you're not a Christian. Yes, I just said that. You know, I have dear friends who have said to me, oh, no, man, you know, God's done His work in me and you know, I'm complete. Now, that's not their actual words, but that's what their conversation has told me. What does that tell me? It tells me the same thing it told Moses. They are a stiff-necked people because they want not to change. They want God to change. Thus saith the word of the Lord from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, to the end of the chapter. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, For you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and it is, and all its glory will be like the flowers of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. You and I need to understand the only way we are going to become unchanging is to put our hearts and minds into the unchanging Word of God, reading it in context, reading it from the beginning to the end, understanding the Old Testament is God's love letter to us all. It shows us sin. It shows us how far we have fallen. And then it brings to us the redemption story of Jesus Christ and the grace that has abounded since the beginning of time through believing in that Messiah who would one day come, who has now come, and now stands before the Father in heaven representing us, speaking our prayers unto Him that we would receive the grace, the glory that is not ours but is His as a covering, and that the Holy Spirit would then empower us somehow to become something we're not. And that is the unchanging nature of God. When we think about where we are and who we are and what is going on, we know that in Hebrews 13 and 8 it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of us quote that scripture? But how many of us want God to conform to our image? How many of us in this world want God to become something other than holy? And that's what I see all the time. I hear people out there. I listen to the news. And I think it is the most atrocious thing that I hear when I hear one of these people placating the Word of God with their sin, with their interpretations of unholiness, and expect us to say, oh yeah, that's what it says. And it happens all the time. Because we, as I said, can take everything out of context. Who gives us context? God. We dare not take anything out of context, lest we take God out of context. And if we take God out of context, we can make anything our God. Does that make sense to you? Because that's where we find ourselves. We are constantly changing God to suit our needs. We change the world around us like you wouldn't believe. How many of you just recently figured out or saw or heard that the CDC has finally changed the science? Oh, yeah, the CDC has finally changed the science. You no longer need the mask, we no longer need mandates, and you never no longer need to get the vaccines. You think I'm laughing? You think I'm joking? Remember, they told us mask, social distance, lockdown, that's the science. Now they just came out with new stuff saying, oh, no, none of that, you don't need to do any of that. Where's the science? Well, the science has changed. No, I think we told them that at the beginning of this thing, because that's the way it's always been. Again, people change what we want to get the outcome that we want. God does not change. He has set this thing in motion, and He has stayed the same from the beginning and will stay the same to the end. Why is God unchanging? We need to understand God is holy. And if He's holy, He can't be constantly changing. We understand that God has something far greater in store. Turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Malachi chapter 3. I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 3. And this is a simple, simple little thing. This is verse 3, 6 through 7. Now, I don't know, did I give you that one, Pete? Yeah, I did give you that one. Very good. Awesome. Because I want you to understand. I don't know if I gave you seven, but it's supposed to be six and seven, Pete. Awesome. Man, you guys are on the ball back here. From verse 6, this is what we read from the Word of God. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? It amazes me when I read that word. God has stayed the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have gone away from him. And then we ask the question, well, how am I supposed to return? You're not willing to come to me. No kidding. If God changed, we would have no idea how to operate. There would be no set standards. Why do you think there are speed limit signs on the road? To try and keep you safe. Why are laws created? Well, why are laws supposedly created? Laws are supposedly created to keep us safe. That was weird. Got a spider crawling on my glasses. Yeah, Satan don't like these messages. But you see what I just did there? Yeah, that's what we think of him. The laws were created to supposedly keep us safe. Why did God give us law? To keep us safe, to keep us from harm. What did we do? We broke the law. How many of you follow the speed limit signs? How many of you have gone through a red light or a stop sign? You know I went through a stop sign or you folks followed me, and luckily they stopped. Pastor's mind was somewhere else, and I went right through that puppy. Man, when I got here, Miss Eva says, do you know you're just my dear? No, I'm sorry. Could have caused an accident. Somebody could have been killed. The laws are set there to give us guidance. Anything inside the law gives us the parameters to operate in a safe and effective manner. Brings us joy. It brings us happiness. It brings us hope. But when we are constantly changing the rules out here in our world, this time of the year, this is okay. Now, next year, this is going to be what we want. 2 years from now, we're going to do that. 3 years from now, we're going to do that. Everything's constantly changing. You have no idea who you are or what you're supposed to do. That breeds chaos and disorder. And that's where we see our world. That is what is going on in our lives. The evil one does not want us to have order. He is constantly changing everything. But God remains the same. God's word shall endure. It will never pass away. I've had people say to me, you know, yeah, but you know, you say the God's going to destroy the earth and all this. No. God's going to change the earth. God's not going to destroy it. The earth changes. The earth has already changed once. In fact, it's changed more than that. If you look at the story of the beginning, you'll see that there were 6 days of change. And then God brought a great flood and redid the entire surface of the earth. And then also there was another time when the continents divided. That was during the time of Peleg. And there's going to come another time when God is going to melt everything with fervent heat, and we are going to be in a paradise of our Lord during the millennial reign of our Lord. And then after that, we also hear that there's a final judgment where everything will be purified once again. We need to understand this earth never gets destroyed. It gets transformed. It gets changed into the unchangeable nature of God. And so too must we be changed into the unchangeable nature of God. How do we do that? We have to go back to the first point. We need to become obedient children. Obedient to what? Obedient to the Word of God. Which means I expect to see the entire church in Bible study on 9-7. Yeah, you're all looking at me like, what did he say? We need to be students of the Word. And we as Christians are just as guilty as anybody else. Yeah, but well, I am a student of the Word. I come to church on Sunday. Wrong chicken. If you're going to be a student of the Word, you need to invest in the Word. No, you need to sacrifice into the Word. We need to understand, if we are going to be changed, if we are going to become holy people, we have got to see where we are truly off. And how many of us are just a little off? Yeah, Root got that one. We need to understand, we do not come anywhere close. Some of us, if you are into target shooting, okay, whether it be archery or rifle or whatever it is, we put a target out there and it's so big and it's got all these different circles on it, right? And the closer it gets to the center, the more points it's worth. Well, some of us are shooting at that target and we aren't even hitting the paper. How do you get more proficient at target shooting? By investing more and more time into it. Honing your skills. Becoming stewards of the Word. The book of Timothy says to us, what? Study to show thyself approved, a workman worthy of the Word of our Lord. We need to be invested in the Word of God. We need to find out what that unchangeable Word says. But Pastor, is it really that important? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, with me. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, with me to Romans 12. Romans 12. And many of you already know the scripture that I'm going to use. The book of Romans. Chapter 12. And again, one of the things that I need is to understand, if pastor's going to preach the word, I have to keep the word in context also, correct? So when I'm preaching, I need to make sure that I'm not pulling something out that is not talking about something other than what I am literally speaking of. And here in the book of Romans, Paul is explaining to us our lives and how we ought live and what has been done for us through Jesus Christ. And he says to us from the book of Romans in the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You and I need to be transformed. We need to go from changing to being unchangeable, which means your attitudes, my attitudes, have to be adjusted. We have got to come to that way of holiness. And once we have established it, then we do not change. What makes people change in our world? Circumstance. I have seen this so often in the body of Christ, but also in the world. As soon as something happens that challenges your parameters, your absolutes, you will change who you are because you wanted to include that thing. Now, I want you to think about this because this has happened many, 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 many times. I have a dear pastor friend, and they have a son who is of a different lifestyle than what is appropriate according to God's word. And as this has come out and the years have advanced, he is now questioning whether or not there's really anything wrong with two men getting married. What does God's word have to say about that? Marriage is between a man and a woman. Isn't that what the word says? Marriage is between a man and a woman. We need to understand. You know, right now, you know, YouTube's probably going to think about cutting this one out. oh well. Because the truth of the matter is, I can't change the Word of God, but it can change me. It needs to change me. I need to see where I'm wrong, and I need to come to it, and then I need to be unchanging. Now, does that mean I'm unmerciful? No, not at all. Does God love the sinner? How many of you here are sinners? How many of you out there? How many of you out there are sinners? Yeah, every hand. You got it. We know where we are. We know who we are. God loves sinners. God hates the sin. Amen. Jesus Christ died to rescue us from our sin. Jesus Christ gave up everything. Please understand when I say that what I mean. Jesus Christ is life. He gave up life. He gave up his physical life for us to have life. That's how much God loves us. That's the unchanging nature of God. He knows we can't do it, but he's given us his word that we may follow him, that we may look into these things. The word tells us, Jesus' own words in Luke, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words never pass away. How do we become unchanged? We store up, we treasure the Word of God in our hearts. That in those times of weakness, in those times of trouble, you know, you wonder why we sing the songs we sing. In those times when the mountains seem too big to climb, God will move the mountain. We need to understand the love of God is greater far than any tongue or pen can tell. And when you and I walk in that grace, when we walk in that mercy, when we walk in that all-sufficient strength, God will change our hearts from this sinful being to a holy individual. But then we have to hold fast to it. And that may mean that your children get a little bit of scorn because they're not doing everything that they're supposed to do. Does that mean we hate them? No. Yeah, I love that. I saw a mom over here shaking her head. No. But we walk with them. And we pray that other Christians will begin walking with them. And we call out to a dark world to come walk in the light. Because if you're walking in darkness, you can't even see what you're doing. But as soon as you come to the light, we begin to see where we are. That's part of the unchangeable nature of God. God's word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. How do we know where we're walking lest we can see the path? How do we know where we're supposed to walk lest we can see the path? And the only way to see it is to look full in the face of God. And when we read this word, that is exactly what you are doing. You are looking full in the face of God who wants to illumine you. He says, let him who has eyes see and ears hear. How many of you, when you're reading, you're speaking to yourself, right? You're reading the words, but you're literally speaking them to yourself. You don't read them out loud, but you're reading, and you can hear your thoughts, right? Right. Am I the only one who does that? Who do you think is in that word that you are reading? Are you literally hearing what is coming from you? That is literally what is being spoken here to you and to me. As we are reading that word, are we hearing it? Or are we just letting it slide through the memory cycles and you're getting lodged in there somewhere, or maybe falling out a left ear or a right ear and thinking that, you know, maybe some of it will stick somehow. Because, you know, that's what hearing means, that it sticks. Hearing means I do what it says. You know, I have a lot of folks who listen to my sermons. I don't know how many of them hear them, but I got a lot who listen. I told you all the other week, I've been at this now as a pastor. I've been a pastor this year. In fact, it's August, yep, this month, 26th or 27th, 25 years, I've been preaching. You'd think if people actually heard what I was saying, I could have stopped a long time ago. God's been speaking for 6,000 years. And we still need to hear it, don't we? Because we struggle with something. Holiness is, it's like that brass ring on the merry-go-round at the circus. You're leaning out, you're hanging on to that pole, you're riding on your horse, and you're hanging out there as far as you can to grab that brass ring, and it's just out of reach. So the next time it comes around, we just hang on with our fingertips and you know. But I'm here to tell you right now, if you are in Christ Jesus, you do not have to go anywhere. You don't have to lean out. All you have to do is lean on. Lean on Him. Lean on the Word. Lean on the grace. Lean on the mercy. Lean on the power. Lean on the cleansing of our souls. And in that, we will find holiness. We will find peace, finally. We will find purpose, because when we become unchanging, we find peace. We find purpose. We find hope, because the unchanging nature of God gives us parameters by which to live our lives that we know we're okay. No, we know we are saved. We know we are born again. We know we are eternally held by the Savior who cannot be defeated. Can I get an amen? And that's the true nature of God. If He were changing, Satan could win this thing. And Satan is never going to win this thing. We have been told these things are coming. When I look out there and I see so many people in desperation, my hands are in the air speaking glory to God, because these things have been preordained to happen to bring Him glory as the Son comes down onto Mount of Olives and steppeth His foot and the hill is rent asunder. And that day is fast approaching. But before that day comes, I don't want to be here to see that day. Because if I'm here to see that day, then I've missed the rapture. I've missed the pulling away of the church. I want to go when He calls His children home so that we don't see the wrath of God. That's the unchanging nature of God. He says, my children will not see my wrath. How many of you are holding on to that? Every hand ought to be in the air. Because there is a day of wrath coming, and it is going to be hell on earth. For 7 years, it will be hell on earth. The first 3.5 will be bad, but Jesus even says the last 3.5, He calls that the great tribulation. The tribulation and the great tribulation. None of us want to see that. We don't want to see our loved ones see that. So how do we do? You know, how do we help? Because we begin to transform lives to the heart of Jesus Christ by ourselves being transformed, by ourselves understanding the unchanging nature of God, and stop being wishy-washy. When God says no, what's the question? But when God says, okay, the whole road's open in front of us. There is so much joy out here. Why do we choose these caveats that lead to death when we have such great freedom in Christ Jesus? Because we want what we want. We don't want what's good for us. You know, it's like those old cereal commercials. Give it to Mikey. He won't eat it. He hates everything. Hey, Mikey, he likes it. It's amazing when we begin to feast on the Lord just how wonderful it tastes, because there's no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. When we start walking in holiness, again, we need to understand that we need to be obedient children. We need to understand that we need to be people of unity. Turn in your Bibles, my last scripture for today, Ephesians 4, beginning in the 14th verse. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. This is so important for us because this is one of the things that I need us to grab a hold of when it comes to this unchanging nature. And we need to hear this word. And it's my prayer that it will be a word that you cling to. Ephesians 4, beginning in 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You and I are to walk in obedience. We are to walk in this unchanging nature of God, because when we do, we will not be tossed about as in the waves or blown here and there by every wave of doctrine. When we look at what's coming from these pundits that are supposedly following the science and everything else, they constantly are changing their narrative. One of the things that I love right now is how they keep changing definitions of words. Since 2021, there have been so many words redefined. You know, just the latest one, recession. It used to mean two quarters in a row where we had a negative, we're beginning a recession. Well, no, that's not the definition of recession anymore. Has been since we've been a nation, but not today. Now, when the next president gets in, probably will be. Because right now it's a political thing. And we need to understand, God says, don't be blown by the wind or tossed by the waves of men's deceitful scheming. And that's exactly what we see our world doing. We need to stay the course in Christ Jesus. And as we stay the course, what is the outcome? What is the outcome of staying the course, of having an unchanging nature? And it's where we're going to be next week. Because as we do, we find the next portion of holiness that all of us have to reckon with. And that is unity. Oh, yeah, it's 2 weeks from now. Thank you, Brother Bob. 2 weeks from now. Next week, we have our picnic. There will not be a presentation on YouTube or Facebook next week unless Ryan puts up a rerun or something like that. But next week, we're actually at a picnic, and we're going to be like 30-some miles from here. I believe that's about how far Host is. It's about 30 miles, 26 miles, something like that. So please, you know, attend there. But in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about unity. Because we need to understand, our God is three persons in one. How many of us know you can't put three people together in a room and have 100% consensus on just about anything? I think it's funny because I had this conversation just a couple of days ago with another beekeeper. And we were talking about the procedures of beekeeping and the things that you should do. And I made the comment to him. I said, you know, it's funny. If you put five beekeepers in a room and ask everybody their opinion, you'll get seven. And that's the way it is in our world. Depending on the moment, depending on the time, depending on how I feel, We don't think anymore, we feel. Depends on the outcome that I want to see. I don't feel about this. I know. The scripture says, I tell you these things that you may know. You see, Satan doesn't want you knowing, he wants you feeling. Because your feelings change to drop of a hat. Knowing, knowing, knowing never changes. But knowing will change us. And to that can I get an amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth that you are an unchanging God, that your word never changes, that you are our set standard by which all things are governed, and to whom we have boundaries that will keep us safe, give us an orderly society, and direct the paths of our children in righteousness. Father God, as we come to a close this day, we just wish that you would bless each and every person, that they may draw from your unchanging nature the certainty of who they are and what you have called us to. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.